News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.
Hello and welcome to News 18's morning podcast, Daybreak. I'm Pathikrit Sengupta. While there's understandably a pandemic of coronavirus-related news all around, let's have a listen to some other big stories. The air in Delhi and surrounding areas hung heavy with acrid smoke as people burst firecrackers on Diwali in a blatant disregard to the government's ban on it, amid a sharp increase in fumes from farm fires. Continuing its upward trend, the city's air quality index, which stood at 382 at 4 p.m. yesterday, entered the severe zone around 8 p.m. as low temperature and wind speed allowed the accumulation of pollutants. The neighboring cities of Faridabad, Ghaziabad, Gurugram and Noida also recorded severe air quality, with firecracker bursting peaking after 9 p.m. People from several parts of the city and its suburbs complained of itchy throat and watery eyes as a layer of smog, the first episode this season, lingered over the region. Residents of Lajpat Nagar in South Delhi, Burari in North Delhi, Pashchim Vihar in West Delhi and Shahdara in East Delhi reported incidents of firecracker bursting as early as 7 p.m. A substantial dip in cracker bursting in the evening seemed a break from tradition, but it did not take long for the sound of explosions to pierce the silence, a resident of Kailash Hills said. Several incidents of high-intensity cracker bursting were reported from Gurgaon and Faridabad. The Haryana government has also imposed a ban on the sale or use of all kinds of firecrackers in 14 of its districts in the National Capital Region, while curbs were put in other parts. Experts said the air quality turned severe owing to unfavorable meteorological conditions, calm winds, low temperature and low mixing height, and a poisonous cocktail of emissions from firecrackers, double burning and local sources. Earlier in the day, the city reported its first episode of fog, which lowered visibility at the Indira Gandhi International Airport and the Safdarjung Airport to the range of 600 to 800 meters in the morning. It continued to remain in the poor range of 800 to 900 meters throughout the day due to calm wind conditions, senior IMD scientist R.K. Jenamani said. The first episode of smog coincided with the share of farm fires in Delhi's pollution, increasing to the season's highest at 25%. Gufran Beg, the founder project director of Safar, said the PM2.5 pollution will shoot up rapidly by early Friday morning, with the AQI even crossing the 500 mark. According to the Central Pollution Control Board, the 24-hour average PM2.5 concentration in Delhi NCR rose from 243 micrograms per cubic meter at 6 p.m. to 263 micrograms per cubic meter at 9 p.m. yesterday, more than four times the safe limit of 60 micrograms per cubic meter. The capital's 24-hour average air quality index stood at 382 on Thursday, up from 314 on Wednesday. It was 303 on Tuesday and 281 on Monday. An AQI between 0 and 50 is considered good, 51 and 100 satisfactory, 101 and 200 moderate, 201 and 300 poor, 301 and 400 very poor, and 401 and 500 severe. According to Safar model forecasts, double burning share may increase to 35% on Friday and 40% on Saturday, with the wind direction changing to northwesterly. Northwesterly winds carry smoke from farm fires in Punjab and Haryana towards the national capital. Relief is expected only from the evening of November 7, but AQI will fluctuate within the very poor range, the air quality forecast agency said. According to authorities, more than 13,000 kilograms of illegal firecrackers have been seized and 33 people arrested so far under the anti-cracker campaign. After the center's decision to cut excise duty on petrol and diesel on the eve of Diwali, several BJP and NDA-ruled states announced to reduce VAT on fuel to further provide relief to consumers. The Odisha government on Thursday announced VAT reduction of Rs. 3 per litre on both petrol and diesel. The new rate will be applicable in the coastal state from the midnight of November 5. The move was aimed at providing relief to common people who were distressed by the relentless hike in fuel prices, the state government said in a statement. The Haryana government also joined the list of states that had cut VAT on petrol and diesel prices. On the occasion of Diwali, the central government has announced a reduction in prices of petrol and diesel. Taking it forward, the Haryana government has also reduced the rate of VAT on petrol and diesel in the state. Now both petrol and diesel in entire Haryana will be cheaper by Rs. 12 per litre, Chief Minister Manohar Lal Khattar said in a tweet on November 4. The centre on Wednesday in a Diwali bonanza announced to slash excise duty on petrol and diesel by Rs 5 and Rs 10 respectively. It also urged the states to reduce the VAT on petrol and diesel. Hailing the central government's decision to reduce excise duty, Union Home Minister Amit Shah on Thursday said, "The relief given even after prices increased internationally is a very sensitive decision. I thank Modi ji for this. This Diwali gift by the Prime Minister to the country would not only bring relief to the common man, but also reduce inflation," the Home Minister added. Hours after the announcement, governments of BJP ruled Assam, Goa, Tripura, Karnataka, Uttarakhand, Manipur, Gujarat, UP and Bihar, where the party is an ally of the ruling government, declared to reduce VAT on fuel. Goa CM Pramod Sawant announced that his government will reduce an additional Rs 7 on petrol and Rs 7 on diesel, thereby cutting the price of diesel by Rs 17 per litre and petrol by Rs 12 per litre. Assam CM Hemanta Biswa Sarma also declared to reduce VAT on petrol and diesel by Rs 7 each. The Karnataka government joined the league and announced a reduction in VAT by Rs 7 each on petrol and diesel. Following suit, Tripura CM Biplab Deb, Manipur CM N. Biren Singh and Gujarat CM Bhupendra Patel announced a cut on VAT by the same amount each on petrol and diesel. Uttar Pradesh government officials said that there will be a total reduction of Rs 12 each in petrol and diesel prices, but there wasn't any official confirmation till the filing of this report. The NDA-led Bihar government announced to slash VAT, and senior BJP MP Sushil Kumar Modi tweeted, "In Bihar, there will be further reduction of state VAT by Rs 1.30 on petrol and 1.90 rupees on diesel, apart from Rs 5 and 10 rupees reduction on excise duty. Effectively, petrol will be cheaper by Rs 6.30 and diesel by 11.90 in Bihar." The Uttarakhand government announced to slash VAT only on petrol by Rs 2 per litre, and as a result, petrol will be cheaper by Rs 7 per litre in the state. The decision by the state governments will come as a huge relief to the consumers, as fuel prices across the country had skyrocketed in the last few weeks following a global upsurge in crude oil prices. India has requested Pakistan to grant overflight clearance to Go First Airlines Srinagar-Sharjah flight, keeping in mind the larger interest of common people who have booked tickets for the route, government officials said on Thursday. Pakistan on Tuesday did not allow the Srinagar-Sharjah flight to use its airspace, forcing it to take a longer route and fly over Gujarat to reach its destination in the UAE, they mentioned. Go First, previously known as Go Air, had started direct flights between Srinagar and Sharjah from October 23, and the service was inaugurated by Union Home Minister Amit Shah during his visit to the valley last month. Pakistani authorities had granted overflight clearance to Go First flights to operate the Srinagar-Sharjah sector on October 23rd, 24th, 26th and 28th, a source said. Sources said subsequently Pakistan put the clearance for the same flight on hold for the period from October 31 to November 30. "This matter was promptly taken up with Pakistan through diplomatic channels, and we have requested Pakistan to grant overflight clearance for this flight in the larger interest of the common people who have booked tickets on this route," the source said. The official said Pakistan on Tuesday did not allow the flight to pass through its airspace, and therefore the service had to take a longer route going over Gujarat, adding around 40 minutes to the flight time on the onward journey as well as the return journey. A longer route means higher fuel consumption, which may push the airline to increase the ticket prices or turn this non-stop service into a one-stop service. Therefore, the official said that India has requested Pakistan to grant the overflight clearance to this flight, keeping in mind the larger interest of common people who have booked the tickets on this service. The Pakistani government is yet to give any specific reason for refusing the permission to the flight, officials said. The airline Srinagar-Sharjah-Srinagar service is the first service between Jammu and Kashmir and the UAE after 11 years. Air India Express had started a Srinagar-Dubai flight in February 2009, but it was discontinued after some time due to low demand. The Pakistan government, however, allowed Prime Minister Narendra Modi's special flight to Italy to use its airspace on Friday to attend the G20 summit. His return flight from Italy was also allowed to use the Pakistan airspace on Wednesday, officials said. In one of the planet's coldest places, 130 kilometers south of Russia's Arctic coast, scientist Sergei Zimov can find no sign of permafrost as global warming permeates Siberia's soil. As everything from mammoth bones to ancient vegetation frozen inside it for millennia thaws and decomposes, it now threatens to release vast amounts of greenhouse gases. Zimov, who has studied permafrost from his scientific base in the diamond-producing Yakutia region for decades, is seeing the effects of climate change in real time. This is one of the coldest places on Earth, and there is no permafrost, he says. Methane has never increased in the atmosphere at the speed it is today. I think this is linked to our permafrost. Permafrost covers 65% of Russia's landmass and about a quarter of the northern landmass. Scientists have said that greenhouse gas emissions from its thaw could eventually match or even exceed the European Union's industrial emissions due to the sheer volume of decaying organic matter. Meanwhile, permafrost emissions, which are seen as naturally occurring, are not counted against government pledges aimed at curbing emissions and were not in the spotlight at the UN climate talks. Zimov ignored orders to leave the Arctic when the Soviet Union collapsed and instead found funding to keep the Northeast Science Station near the part-abandoned town of Chersky operating. Citing data from a US-managed network of global monitoring stations, Zimov says he now believes the pandemic has shown that permafrost has begun to release greenhouse gases. Despite factories scaling back activity worldwide during the pandemic, which also dramatically slowed global transport, Zimov says the concentration of methane and carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has been growing at a faster rate. Whole cities sit on permafrost, and its thawing could cost Russia 7 trillion rubles or $100 billion in damage by 2050 if the rate of warming continues, scientists have said. Built on the assumption that the permafrost would never thaw, many homes, pipelines, and roads in Russia's far north and east are now sinking and increasingly in need of repair. Zimov wants to slow the thaw in one area of Yakutia by populating a nature reserve called the Pleistocene Park with large herbivores including bison, horses and camels. Such animals trample the snow, making it much more compact, so the winter cold can get through to the ground rather than acting as a thick insulating blanket. Zimov and his son Nikita began introducing animals into the fenced park in 1996. And have so far relocated approximately 200 different species, which they say are making the permafrost colder compared with other areas. Bison were trucked and shipped in this year from Denmark along the northern sea route, past polar bears and walruses and through weeks-long storms before their ship finally turned into the mouth of the Kolyma River towards their new home some 6,000 kilometers to the east. The Zimov surreal plan for geoengineering a cooler future has extended to offering a home for mammoths, which other scientists hope to resurrect from extinction with genetic techniques, in order to mimic the region's ecosystem during the last ice age that ended 11,700 years ago. A paper published in Nature Scientific Reports last year, where both Zimovs were listed as authors, showed that the animals in Pleistocene Park had reduced the average snow depth by half, and the average annual soil temperature by 1.9 degrees Celsius, with an even bigger drop in winter and spring. More work is needed to determine if such unconventional methods might be an effective climate change mitigation strategy, but the density of animals in Pleistocene Park, 114 individuals per square kilometer, should be feasible on a pan-Arctic scale, it said. And global scale models suggest introducing big herbivores onto the tundra could stop 37% of Arctic permafrost from thawing, the paper said. Right, everyone, that's all for today, but we will be back again next week with a fresh dose of news for you. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe to the newsletter Daybreak at news18.com and do follow the website for more news and developments. Thank you for listening. Have a very good day and a great weekend.
News 18 Daybreak. The perfect way to get you started and informed for the day ahead.